a visit with Andy Warhol and Company on June 3, 1967, on the occasion of the release of his then-newest film, Chelsea Girls. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris André.
The Pacifica Radio Archive celebrates Women's History Month.
Do the Constitution of the United States mean anything? Because we are a part of America. Our parents and our descendants was from Africa, and we didn't come on our own, but we do want to be treated as human beings. And I'm fighting for human right, not for equal right.
Fannie Lou Hamer, 1917 to 1977, African-American civil and voting rights activist and founder of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, interviewed in 1965. Part of the Pacifica Radio Archives Preservation and Access Project, American Women Making History and Culture, 1963 to 1982. Funded in part by a grant from the National Historical Publications and Records Commission at the National Archives and Records Administration. For more information, visit us at PacificaRadioArchives.org. I'm Donna Walker. Thanks for keeping our women's history alive.
KBOO Community Radio invites you to our springtime open house and live in-studio performance of Mama C, Saturday, March 21st, from 1 to 5 p.m. Welcome. Tour the KBOO studios and meet your community. Share refreshments and talk with other listeners, program hosts, volunteers, and KBOO staff. See how our communities intersect and work together to create this amazing community radio station. We'll also have a live performance by Mama C, an accomplished musician, poet, and MC, as well as a former Black Panther and political refugee who fled the U.S. in early 1970s for Tanzania. Again, that's Saturday, March 21st, from 1 to 5 p.m., an open house and live performance by Mama C at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, your community radio station, KBOO Portland. We look forward to seeing you.
Tune in to Ear to the Streets of Portland on March 19th for an interview with special guest Bay Area recording artist Goapele, who will be performing at this year's KBOO-sponsored event, Sold Out Music Festival, on April 15th. It's a night of special guests and performances on Ear to the Streets of Portland with Goapele and local artists Arietta Ward and friends, March 19th, starting at 7 o'clock p.m., right here on your community radio station, KBOO. Tune in online at kboo.fm, on your mobile phone at m.kboo.fm, and follow KBOO on Instagram at KBOO Radio and Twitter at KBOO.
Thank you. morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, March 17th, 2015, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, because you make it that way. It's 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM. On the web. Today's headlines, well, it is, of course, worldwide, the Israeli election, which is taking place, of course, in what can we call it? The theater of Benjamin Netanyahu's speech before Congress, Congress's letter, and of course Avigdor Lieberman's remarks about beheading all Palestinians. Wonderful, lovely people, charming people who descended upon the Middle East with notions of statehood and glory. And now look what we have. And of course, they managed to drag themselves through the election process with no mention whatsoever in the American press about nuclear weapons. So we have that as the backdrop for world news. We are right now attempting to reach Tom Mahager. Mahager is a Hebrew media coordinator for Adala, the Legal Center for Arab Minority Rights in Israel. Among the group's recent news releases, Elections Committee refuses to provide public transportation on election day to Bedouin voters in unrecognized villages. As the Palestinians have been treated abominably, what we have is apartheid, what we could arguably say in Gaza is genocide. But if you think it's bad there, the Bedouin people, Palestinian Bedouins, representing rich, deep cultural heritage, which is being decimated right now, even as we speak. Bedouins have been treated worse than anyone else. The AP is reporting that with his political future in question, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today made a last-ditch appeal to hardliners as the country went to the polls in a tight parliamentary election. Let's not forget, this is a parliamentary election. This is very different from the political system that we have. Both are extraordinarily bent, but nonetheless, this type of election is not what you want to think of when you think of election. Netanyahu, nonetheless, said that the high Arab voter turnout was endangering his right-wing party's dominance. Hooray for that! Netanyahu's comments towards Israeli Arab voters were remarkable because they targeted Israeli citizens and they quickly attracted accusations of racism. Ha! That's hilarious. Israel's Arabs, who make up 20% of the population, have long complained of discrimination. A new joint list of Arab parties are unifying four factions. This is so complicated. Tomorrow we're going to have an analysis from Sayed Benoura with the International Middle East Media Center once we have some results from this from the melee. And Sayed will be sorting out the way the system works and the manner in which it coughs up leaders. Journalist Jonathan Cook reported on the Israeli election. In one sense, everything is up for grabs. This election could result either in another right-wing government led by Netanyahu or in a victory for a coalition of centrist parties distinguished by their hostility towards old Bibi. Whatever the outcome, one thing is certain. The next government is going to be no more willing or able to make peace with Palestinians than its predecessors, especially with Benjamin Netanyahu saying that he didn't see that should he continue to hold power, any future for a two-state solution, to which many Palestinians for a long time said hurrah for that, because in one state, the Palestinian population would dominate. So there is that. I doubt very much that that's what Netanyahu had in mind. And let's not forget, too, that the Israeli Foreign Minister, Avigdor Lieberman, hit a new low last week by calling disloyal members of the Palestinian minority to be beheaded. With his usual immunity to paradox, he called at the same time for a Palestinian leader in Israel to be stripped of citizenship for comparing Israel's behavior to that of ISIL. Well, first off, it is similar to ISIL. Israel has a great many problems right now, not with the people who are suffering from an incredible gap in wealth on par with that of the United States. There are people who can barely make ends meet month to month in Israel. We don't think about that. I don't think most Americans have much idea of the average Israeli citizen faces on a daily basis. What they see is, of course, the rock-throwing settlers, of course, and they support those rock-throwing settlers. They love it. Americans just think those settlers are great. If they were there, they'd share their rocks with the settlers. So going in, there's this deep and disturbing lack of understanding for a people, the people of a nation, which most and a majority, 60-something percent of Americans, support. It's very, very disturbing, the lack of understanding, lack of intelligence on the part of the U.S., and, of course, the attitude of Israelis towards people, their neighbors in the region. Why go after Iran when you're surrounded by really dangerous people? Here's Israel, armed to the teeth, thanks to American generosity, and no effort whatsoever. Who is attempting to take back the Crete? The Iranians. So there you have it. We're still trying to, I doubt if we have time now to reach Mazen Kamsir or Tom Mayhager. They apparently are not answering, and so we move on from there. Vancouver resident Eric LeBrant told a panel of lawmakers yesterday that the home that he shares with his children is a block from the rail yards and less than a mile from two proposed crude by rail oil terminals. He's right in the middle of the blast zone. And there will be a blast. There's absolutely no question. LeBrant joined a handful of other Clark County residents and many others from around the state to testify on a measure that aims to increase oil by rail safety measures. There's no such thing as safety measures here. LeBrant urged lawmakers on the House Environment Committee to strengthen Senate Bill 5057. That's it. That's the bill. That's the safety bill. There shouldn't be any issue of safety because there shouldn't be any oil by rail. There shouldn't be oil by any means. A federal judge ruled yesterday that the federal forest managers have to take a harder look at the environmental harm that could be caused by a new forestry project planned in northern spotted owl habitat. This as a way to break a logjam over timber harvest. You don't harvest timber. It's not blueberries. U.S. District Judge Ann Aiken ruled in Eugene that the environmental analysis of the U.S. Bureau of Land Management did on the White Castle timber sale outside Rosewood was inadequate. Aiken ordered a more stringent environmental impact statement. And on that note, we go out for today. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, March 17th, 2015. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.